It's a pleasure to be here at Andrew's and to share this time with you. My sister studied computer science and mathematics to the doctoral level. At one stage in her life, she did not take God very seriously because in her subconscious mind, she did not think much about God and Christ and all those little nuances that talks about Jesus Christ. In fact, she felt that mother's religion was just an opiate of the people, according to one of her favorite personalities. But my mother died, and she was really distraught. She was distraught. I mean, she was very distraught. I went to visit her in New York. And I went on a Sunday night. She wasn't home. Where is she? She's gone to church. Wednesday night, she's gone to church. Sabbath, she's gone to church from morning till night. Sister Carol, what has happened? I mean, you have surprised me. She said, I plan to give Mama a surprise. I mean, it was a sweet feeling. I plan to give Mama a surprise. You know, when you think of He restoreth my soul, He restoreth my soul. Note, the theme did not say and the Bible did not say, He restoreth my body. And you wonder why He did not say, He restoreth my body. Because as much as we love this body, as much as we care for this body, as much as we spend a lot of money on this body, the body is contending against forces that refuse to negotiate its freedom. The body is not free to do what it wants. And that's a sad reality that I'm learning painfully as the years go on. But Psalm 23 and verse 3, I think it's the only passage in the Bible that says, He restoreth my soul. You know, it does not matter what state a man's body is or a woman's body is in. If the soul is vigorous, the body looks good. If the soul is sad, the body is sad. And sometimes you don't know how much you are invigorated until you check the soul. What is your soul relationship with your God? You know, when you want to check your relationship with God, you write a letter to your Father. And Christ in teaching us to establish a relationship with the Father, says, pray to your Father and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, when you want to establish a relationship with your Father, it's the one who has provided the genetic seed that is responsible for you being here. Our Father, you establish a relationship with the spirit world. Our Father, a letter sent to our paternal parent, our Father. Before the beginning, he was there. And he is there. And he will be there. You can measure him by a continuous time in the past. You can measure him by a continuous time in the future. He is there. There's never a time when he isn't is. You can't speak of him as was or will be. He's always is. And that's why it says, I am. And when you and I, as we get old and establish a relationship with him, we have to measure our life in relationship to he who can restore our soul. The soul is a wonderful thing, you know. The soul is that which transcends the consciousness and the subconsciousness and to what some people call the superconscious. The relationship we establish with our Father in heaven is that which every man establishes, whether for good or for evil. There are some folks who deny that he is. And there are some folks who doubt whether he is. And there are some folks who question the reality of him. But the Bible says the animals consider, in fact, they know their owner. But man has a way of denying his God. When I say our Father, which art in heaven, I am not just saying a prayer, but I'm making contact. Some time ago, my daughter says, Daddy, I get my phone rang.
What happened?
You said, Daddy, and my phone rang. Daddy, turn off your phone. Let me see it again. Daddy, my phone rang. I mean, there was no connection between myself and her. She said, anywhere in the world I am. And I said, Daddy, in my phone, your phone will ring. Hallelujah. I am getting closer to understanding my God. When I say our Father, I mean my voice. What do you call that thing, that the vocal cord that resonates, that activates the system? When I say our Father, right away God tunes in to my frequency. Isn't that wonderful? When I live in that world, I feel comfortable. My God cares. He cares. When I say our Father, I seek a relationship with the cosmic world. Not only the world that I cannot see, but the cosmic world. That which I see around me. That which I know to be out there. That I encounter as I live in this planet, and not only as I live on this planet, but also as I contemplate why I am here and the troubles I get myself in and the questions I ask. You know, people like Abraham encountered some challenges. He encountered Mount Moriah. He was going home. He encountered Joseph, encountered Potiphar's wife. Samson encountered Delilah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego encountered the fire furnace. Moses encountered the wilderness. And John, the Isles of Patmos. And Jesus encountered the cross on his way home. The days of 4 years are 70 years. But if by matter of your strength you go on to 70 years, yet is there strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and you fly away. But is that something to worry about? I ask you, is that something to worry about? I said no. I said emphatically no. And why can I say no? Because the Bible tells me that this world is not the end. And I know it. I know it because it has been ingrained in my subconsciousness. God makes sure that he does not leave me any doubt as to what my future is with him. He restoreth my soul. He makes me to know joy and gladness. He makes me to know that even though worms shall destroy this body, yet the old patriarch said, in my heart will I see God. When I say our Father and make contact with my Father in heaven, I circle another immensity. It is a relationship with Arlington Woodburn. Myself. Myself is the greatest enemy that I have to face. And the text we read earlier on, truly, I mean, when I heard our chapers talking about when you reach 60, you must get rich, I saw some people squirming in their seat because they reach 60 and they don't feel that blessing. Asaph was not a poor man. The writer of this psalm was not a poor man. But he said, surely God is good to Israel, even to those, if the such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, I can't talk for you. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men are, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out of them. And they say, how doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful. It was too painful for me. The lot of many people, Christians, and those who are not so strong Christians, those doubting Christians, those Christians living in the subconscious world. When I thought to know this, when I pray and God don't answer my prayers, when I ask God for something and he don't give it to me, when I seek God's prayer and he doesn't, I can't find him. When I look for him, I can't find him. And yet other people are not in trouble as I am. They don't owe as I do. They don't live in the type of a sphere that I live in. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went in the Sanctum Sanctorum. I went in the presence of the Lord. Then I understand what life is all about. He restores my soul in the Sanctum Sanctorum. He restores my soul in the Holy of Holies. He restores my soul. Brethren, when I think to recognize that I'm getting old and my hair getting bald and I'm getting there, it's a very difficult proposition, isn't it? The younger ones are. Those older one of us who try to put off and put off and put off. But when I go in the sanctuary of God, I understand more of what God is all about. So, in the Holy of Holies, one precious boon, O Lord, I seek. While tossed upon that billowy sea, and brethren, we are tossed, aren't we? We are tossed. But Christ had a message for you as he had one for Peter. Peter was there in the presence of God, and Peter heard Christ saying, I am going to be leaving you. Peter says, no, God, you cannot leave us. There's no way you're going to leave us. Wherever you're going, we want to go. God says, you cannot come, Peter. Peter says, whatever it takes to go with you, I, Peter, am coming. All right, Peter. If you can survive without denying me, before the cock crows, you can come. You're talking about you love me. You're talking about what you do for me. You're talking about this wonderful thing. And yet, before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times. But he gave him an assurance. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't get heart attack. What they say? Do not get heart attack. Believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and one is there for you. There is a translation that says, in my Father's house are many rooms. A friend of mine says she will never read that translation, because she is used to one room, And there's no way she's going to leave one and go to another one. She loves mansions. So I agree with her. I love my mansions. In my father's house are many mansions. And one of those mansions belongs to me. Hallelujah. I'm delivered from fainting spells when I believe in my God. I'm delivered from fainting spells when he restoreth my soul. I am delivered because we have a treasure in earthen vessels. We have a treasure in a vessel that gets old. In a vessel that disintegrates. But in this vessel, I am kept rejoicing. I am kept renewing. I am kept restoring because of five graces. Five graces. Grace number one, the grace of faith. The grace of faith is a sovereign cordial against discouragement. I am not discouraged because my Bible tells me that faith is the substance. The substance. Do you know what is substance, brethren? But it's something that you cannot see, but it is there. The evidence. It is both substance and evidence. And we know it is there. Secondly, we live in another environment, the grace of hope. It is hope in the resurrection. Keep us from sinking in despair. We live in that grace, my brothers, my sisters. We live in the grace of the church. The grace of the church keep us from falling. Because the Bible says they overcome by the word of their testimony. We may well afford to bear suffering patiently when we see others are better for them. What a wonderful thing the church is. The fourth environment that we live in the environment of grace, is the grace of forgiveness and the advantage of the harvest of our soul. The grace of forgiveness. A wonderful feeling to know that you have been forgiven. We are kept from fainting spells because he restores our soul. It is our happiness that when the body is sick, the soul is vigorous. As in wicked men, things get worse and worse. In godly men and women, things get better and better. Do you believe that? It is true. In godly men, things get worse and worse. But, in wicked men rather, things get worse and worse. But, in godly men and women, things get better and better. Then the grace of eternal life and happiness. This is the ultimate restoration of your soul. We see afflictions on our way to heaven, but he restoreth our souls. We see that affliction will end at last because our soul have been restored. Because our souls are restored, we weigh things aright in the light of God's eternal justice. We see affliction as light in comparison to the glory of heaven. We see, my brothers, my sisters, that what the eyes sense as ready to pronounce heavy and long, the eyes of faith perceive to be light and short. By faith, we see the great difference between the seen and the unseen. And when we are restored, we take aim at the unseen. We take aim at the unseen. Today, I invite you all, young and old, to get in that groove of relationship with Almighty God. Will you find yourself enjoying the graces of our Lord Jesus Christ? So whatever may come your way, you can still come rejoicing. Because our God keep restoring us over and over and over again. He never stopped, and he will never stop. So, if I don't see you again like I'm seeing you now, we'll meet you in the morning when our souls are fully restored.